Thank you. That was beautiful. Wasn't that a blessing? Aren't you glad one day here after a while we're all going to have rest? There is rest across the river. I thank God for the promise of heaven. It's a real place, my friend. On Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock, my wife's uncle was laid to rest, his physical body. And my good friend, Brother Benny Allen, did the funeral. And he was able to lead Uncle Sammy to the Lord many years ago, and then he followed the Lord in baptism. And Brother Benny, as he was preaching the funeral, said, we might miss him, but we certainly aren't feeling sorry for him, because he's sure in a much better place. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't, I'd quit what I'm doing. I really mean that, and I'm going to be honest. We live down here in this whole wicked world. I'm ready to go home. And there's some here, you're so comfortable down here, you don't want to be bothered. This world's, you've gotten so deep, you've gotten your roots so deep in it. And I hope and pray that the Lord will stir us up and start busting up some of them roots. Because see, the Bible tells us that when we look to Him, all the things of this world grow strangely dim. You know when the Lord's really working in people's heart? When they start living like the things in this world grows strangely dim. I've never seen one person getting ready to die that's ever talked about all the things they accomplished in their life. You know, the only thing I've ever heard them concerned about when they're getting ready to take their last breath, do they know Jesus or not? Where are they going to go when they die here in just a few moments? And some were only given moments when I got to speak to them. They had peace in their heart because they knew Jesus Christ was their Savior. And I'm glad that we have a place called heaven that we get to look forward to. And by the way, that's our eternal home. We're just passing through here, the Bible says. We're just strangers and pilgrims. Now I want to ask you if you would do something. I don't hardly ever do it this way. But I'm going to ask you. Would you do your very best to come back tonight? You know, I've been preaching on the metaphors of the Bible. I talked to you on the last time I preached on Sunday about meat and milk. Tonight's going to be a message that's going to be straight from my heart. Maybe someone would call it a pastoral message. I hope and pray you'll come back tonight and not miss it. I think the Lord's given me some things to say. I believe He gives men that are called in the ministry and also wise men. Maybe you're not called in the ministry, but you're a father and you're a godly man. Maybe you're a godly woman. But I believe God gives, I believe one of the things, especially about preachers, is that He called them a seer. They see things. Now, I'm not talking about like I see a 9-foot Jesus in my dream. That probably normally means I ate pizza too late. And that other preacher that told you that he's seen a new Jesus in his dream, that's all that meant too, because he didn't see a new Jesus. Jesus is not going to do anything contrary to what His Word says already. Amen. But I do believe that God gives to men and women, they see things. I've been in this thing 26 years preaching. I've been at this church 15 years. Been in the ministry over 26 years. I've seen a few things. And the Lord has impressed on my heart to preach a message tonight out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't even have an outline. That ought to scare you to death. I'm just going to share from my heart. I hope you'll be here to do you good. Would you open your precious Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 this morning? Ephesians chapter 5. Now this morning, Lord willing, I'm going to conclude our series on the metaphors of the Word of God. We've preached now over 8 weeks on the metaphors of the Word of God. We started out being pierced. Why? Because the Bible says it's a sword. So if you're going to be under the preaching of God's Word, by the way, that's why everybody ought to be faithful to church so you can get pierced. Because the Word of God is a sword. And Then we talked about it's a hammer. When you're around the sound Word of God under the preaching and the teaching of God's Word, you're going to get convicted. You're going to get broken. Why? Because God's Word is a hammer. If you're going to be around the sound Word of God, you're going to be cleansed. Why? Because it's water. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Then you're going to get refined. Why? Because God says His Word is fire. You're going to be guided. If you're around the preaching of God's Word, you're in God's Word, you're going to be guided. Your path's going to be lit. Why? Because the Bible says it's a lamp. It's a light. God's Word is a light in a dark world. By the way, that's why so many young people are just drifting through life wondrously. They have no idea what they're doing. They're stabbing at stuff, trying to figure out what they're supposed to do with their life. Well, I got a word for all of you young people and all of you that want some direction. God's Word is a lamp. He will light your way. So all you young people, they're trying to find it your way. Here's what's going to happen to you, just like happened to me at 21. You're going to come to a place at the end of yourself. Everything you tried is not going to work. It's going to bring you to a place of brokenness. But hopefully and prayerfully, you'll finally allow the Lord to light your way. Because I did full circle. I got away from this book, what my mother and father taught me. I got away from this book, from what my preacher told me. And about the age of 21, listen to me now, I was sure sorry that I did. So it'll guide your way. I was a senior in high school. I had no idea what I was supposed to do. I heard everybody what they told me I should do. Supposed to go get a good job, get a good career. But very few people in my life said, no, you just follow the Lord. He'll guide your way. That's some sharp counsel. I don't hear a lot of that today. But God's Word will guide us. When we're in a dark world, we don't know where to go. When we don't know what to do, God's Word will what? Guide us. Why? Because it's a light. Hey, it will reflect. Why? Because it's a mirror. It will nourish us. Hey, will make us spiritually fat. Why? Because it's food. And it will multiply. Why? Because the Bible says it's seed. Now today we want to look at the water, and we see that the water, we also understand that water, what do we use water for? Water is good for cleansing. Now I want to look at Acts or Ephesians chapter 5. Let's begin reading with verse 22. Now this is a powerful passage of Scripture, verse 22. This is an interesting subject that he wants to deal with. And I want all of you husbands to listen to this passage of Scripture. The Bible says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now most men, they don't want to go any farther than that. Most men, I've had men come up to me and say, now preacher, where's that verse in the Bible that my wife's supposed to do everything I say? Well, it ain't in there. It's not in there. But the Bible does say that the wife should submit to her husband. Now, look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. Now, listen here, gentlemen. God is likening you unto Him. The way He loves the church, the way He loves us, the way He is the leader of our church. Men ought to look at his family and his wife that way, but you ought so love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now notice what the Bible says. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Now listen to me. Here's why I have no trouble giving subjection to my Savior, because I know He loves me. I have no trouble letting Him lead me. Now sometimes I get in the way and I want to lead myself. But see, here's a beautiful picture. Every home in here would change if every man would get a hold of this. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Gentlemen, what a tall order. Look at verse 26. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men, here it is again, gentlemen, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse Verse 29, for no man even yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man, here we go again, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. No longer two, they're one. When someone gets married, they not only become one physically, that's the easy part. Everybody wants to talk about becoming one physically. Well, that's the easy part. You ought to become one physically. And by the way, that's when you should become one physically with someone, is after you get married. That's a wonderful gift that God's given us. But we also should come together as one what? Mentally, emotionally, we become one. But here's the greatest place in our marriage, and when we become one spiritually. Then the Bible says this, for this is a great mystery. Look at verse 20 or verse 32. For this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Wait a minute, Lord. I thought you was talking about marriage. He was. But he was also talking about the church. What a beautiful thing here. Now you pray for me. I'm going to be dealing with this subject in Kenya. I'm going to be dealing with this passage of Scripture in a different way than I will today. But I have to give context to the passage. We're going to look at verse number 26, obviously, is the text. But I don't want to just pull that verse out of context and use it. But God does say here that He uses His Word as water. But we understand the great context of this passage is He's given some of the greatest instruction about a family, about a home, about a husband, about a wife, and the function and how beautiful that thing should run. When the husband loves his wife, and when that wife knows that he loves her, and he means good towards her, as the Lord loves us and gives Himself for us, and guides us and protects us and keeps us. When a man will love his wife like that, I've never seen a wife not want to submit to him. See, we get it all wrong. I do right now what I want to do, what I say. Well, what are you doing? She ought not just do what you say because you say she should. Here's the question. Are you loving her like Jesus loves you? Makes a difference. So in this passage, we see that God likens His Word as water. When we think of water, what do we think about? Let's just be practical this morning. I got 30 minutes. I got a lot to say. Y'all pray for me. How many of y'all glad to be here? What do you think of when you think about water? Can I give you some? Very practical. Let's make spiritual application. Number one, here's the number one. Water cleanses. Cleanses. We didn't have anybody to watch our dog this week, and so man, my neighbor pulled up to us this morning. We're getting ready to leave, and Domino's been at the house all by himself. We've had people come check on him, give him food. But our neighbor pulled up this morning. They were leaving. We were getting ready to get in the car to go to church. They were going somewhere else. He said, Domino was sad all week. He said, we felt sorry for that dog. I said, don't talk. Don't say no more. He said, no, I'm serious. He said, your dog was up on the trampoline whining like a coyote, just going, said he would do it for hours. He said, that dog was sad. Man, as soon as we pulled up into the house yesterday, he come over that fence. And I knew one thing. He was filthy dirty. I said, well, you're going to get a bath. I gave him a bath. And I'm telling y'all right now, that water did its job. That water was dirty. Why? Because water does what? Cleanses. Y'all with me? Y'all stay with me now. Ephesians 5:26 says, it cleanses. The Word of God shows you how to be clean. Now, let me just say this. Every one of us are dirty because of our sin. We're old, dirty, nasty sinners. To be fair, if the truth was known, every one of us has thought things this morning before we got here. If anybody knew we thought them, we'd be ashamed. You say, oh, Pastor, you're our pastor. You think that way? Absolutely. I have thoughts that aren't right. They're not clean. You say, oh, Pastor, you shouldn't admit that. No, I'm being honest. There was a preacher, 73 years of age, and I just learned this Wednesday, C.L. Roach from the Atlanta area, and one of the preachers said to him, he was saved, he'd been preaching for 73, you're 73 years old, and this younger preacher comes and said, Dr. Roach, when do you ever just not ever have thoughts that aren't godly? He says, well, I ain't figured that out yet. I'm 73 and I still struggle with it. But I'll give you one way, I'll tell you one way. You want to have a clean life. You want to have a clean slate. You want your sin to be washed away. Well, the Bible tells you how to get clean. The water of the Word will cleanse you. I'm glad the Bible tells us that it will wash us clean. See, salvation cleanses us from our sins. See, we're all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We're all dirty, but all of us want to get clean. And the only way we can get clean is through the Word of God. And the Word of God tells me that though my sin be as scarlet, they shall be washed white as snow. The Bible tells me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible tells me in Romans, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Our sin has to be cleansed, and the only way our sin can be cleansed is through the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Because when He died, He had no sin in His blood. And so when He paid the price of our sin, He paid for it in full. That's why Jesus came. Someone had to pay for our sin to wash it clean. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Where do I learn that? I learn it from the water of the Word. Man, I'm glad I had parents who knew how to tell me how to get saved. My parents weren't confused on that thing. They told me how to be saved. They gave me the water from the Word. And man, I got saved. Now look, that doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I am saved from my sin. Mr. Spafford that wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul, if you know the history behind that, he was standing over a boat where he had just lost his children. All of his children were killed. He was sailing across the Atlantic Ocean to meet his family, and another boat struck his wife and all of their children, and the children died. And Mr. Spafford, in grief, started to meet his wife over there. And over that boat, he asked the captain of the ship, said, will you pull close to where my children drowned? And that captain of that ship, he pulled over and said, Mr. Spafford, right in here is where your children drowned. And he, over the bow of that ship, he wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul. He said, not my sin, oh what glorious thought, not my sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross. And he said, I bear it no more. It's well with my soul. Is it well with your soul this morning? Now look, I'm not talking to anybody here that you've never done anything wrong. Everybody here has a past. I might be talking to someone today, you got a present. You say, Pastor, forget about the past. I'm not doing right now. Well, let me help you. The water will get you clean. You can get saved today, and let me tell you something. When the devil tries to bring up your sin, you can just bring up his future. See, when you get saved, listen to me, you get ultimately saved, you get cleansed. The Bible says you get justified. What's that mean? That's an accounting term. When you get justified, here's what happens. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Father no longer looks at me as like Mark Brandon. He doesn't look at me at Mark Brandon. He doesn't see my past. He doesn't see my sins. He doesn't see my mistakes. Because when I trusted Jesus, the perfect account of Jesus Christ was put over on mine. And when God sees me, He don't even see me no more. He sees the perfect record of His Son, Jesus. So when God looks at me, He looks at me as though I've never even been a sinner. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's amazing what people are trying to do today to rid themselves of the guilt of their past sin. Can I help you? Jesus will help you get rid of the guilt of your past sin. He's the only one that can get us clean. By the way, water cleanses. Can I just say something else about water? Water not only cleanses you initially when you get saved, but here's what else I've learned about this water. It'll keep you clean. How many of y'all ever only took one bath in your lifetime? How many of you only took one shower in a lifetime? Now, if you please don't raise your hand, but we would all know it because we'd smell you this morning. That's silly, isn't it? Isn't that silly to think that someone, oh, I'll tell you what, Pastor, I got a bath 30 years ago, I don't guess I need another one. Well, everybody else thinks you do. Domino couldn't talk, but if he could, he'd say, hey, Mark, will you give me a bath? He was dirty. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? We got to stay clean. You say, how do we keep clean? Well, I'm glad. Let's look at the water. Go to a beautiful passage of Scripture in Psalm 119. Real quick now, Psalm 119, verse 9. Y'all get it in your heart. Some of you parents, you say, man, my children ain't doing right. Well, you need to get them in the water. They need to be around the water more. They need to get in the water to get clean. You say, well, I've got dirty thoughts, Pastor. Well, you need to get in the water. You say, I've got some bad habits. You need to get in the water. You say, well, look what verse 9 says of Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How do we stay clean? We stay in the word. We stay in the word. How do we get cleaned up? How do we stay clean? We stay in the word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I've had young people come up to me and say, Pastor, I've got these awful things that I want to do. I said, okay, you need to get more in the word of God. You need to start reading the word of God. You need to start putting the word of God into your heart. Can you imagine us leaving straight out of this room today and going outside if we hide God's word in our heart and then go right outside these doors and go do something dirty? You say, Pastor, how does that work? Well, if we are hiding God's word in our heart, let me ask you this. Why don't you quote, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and quote that while you go out here and do something wrong. You won't do it. You know why we go out here and do something wrong and we don't stay clean? I'm going to tell you what we do. We have to forget everything we hear here. That's why a lot of people don't want to come here. Because it reminds them of that they the way we ought to live. And here's what's wonderful. When we get saved, God helps us to live and want to live by this Word. Although it might be a little small desire to start out. Maybe it might be a great desire. Here's what I've seen. Usually when someone gets saved, they have a strong desire to do what's right. But if not careful, and I was talking to someone just a few moments ago right over in this hall, I said, you better never ever let your spiritual life start getting loose. You better never ever start putting it in cruise control. You better be vigilant. You better keep your relationship with Jesus stirred up. Because what I usually see here is, oh, Pastor, I'm so excited. I've gotten saved. And man, it's all good. And about 4 years later, the FBI can't find them. What happens? They just quit staying stirred. But see, if we'll stay in this Word, it will keep us clean. We continue to take baths. We continue to take showers. Why? Because we have to continue to stay clean. Someone will say, well, I just don't believe in church. Well, then stay dirty. Now, you ought to take some baths at home on your own. Everybody can take baths and stay clean by reading their Bible and having devotions. But it's helpful when we at least know we can come to a church at least 3 times a week and help us get clean. Why? Because it keeps us clean. When you think of water, what else do you think of? It cleanses us. It keeps us clean. But what else? I thought of this. Boy, it quenches thirst. Well, there's been times, man. Back in the old days, this is before, you know, everybody was being abused. They'd go, hey, listen here. They'd come and lock up my coaches right now and put them in jail. I promise you, they'd come and lock them up right now for child abuse. Because y'all know what? There was times we practiced 2 hours and never even had a drink. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Lord help us today. If we did that today, man, we'd all be locked up in jail. Oh, they'll be all right. I'm going to tell you right now. I was there one day. We was in the middle. And we practiced for 2 hours. Joe Blankenship was our coach. And I mean, you know, it was just in Little League. man, he took that thing serious. We won in our division every year. We lost every game the first year. And he said, we're never going to do it because we just started. We were a brand new team. We were the Pizza Hut. Brand new team. I was the first time I went out. And man, Joe Blankenship picked me. We got on that team. The next year, we didn't lose a game. The next year after, we didn't lose a game. We went over the regional tournaments over in Rossford. We lost two over there. We didn't make it very far over there. But in our little area, man, we was the team. And I know why, because he about killed us. 2.5-hour practice with 9- and 10-year-olds. No water. I'll never forget it. One day in the middle of the summer, we're up for practice 2.5 hours in. We're all about to die. And finally, Joe says, well, boys, practice is over. And he didn't have no water there. He said, boys, fight it the best way you can. Well, there's a dirty river down there. We all know where we all went. Down there we was, man. We were slurping all that bacteria up. And guess what? Not a one of us got sick. You say, how did it taste? Best water I ever tasted. Why? Because I was thirsty. And guess what water does? It quenches our thirst. Now real quick, look in John chapter 4. This is a beautiful picture. Now I'm going to get real with you here because y'all like it real, don't you? Let's just be real and let's bring it down to where all of us live. John chapter 4. Now let me just say to you, give you a little preface on this. Jesus met a woman that wasn't the most outstanding citizen. By the way, the reason she came to the well at the time she came is because she knew if she'd come another time, she'd have been shunned. She wasn't a very clean woman. You say, Pastor, how do I know that? Well, because when the Lord started to talk to her, He said He was testing her. He said, are you married? She says, no, I'm not married. I don't have a husband. And here's what He said. That's good that you say that. He said, you've been married 5 times and the man that you're with now is not your husband. That's what He said. That's right there in verse 18 of John chapter 4. Now, why did Jesus say that? It's a great lesson for us. Here's what I picture about this little old woman. She tried everything that the world had. And by the way, I see them out there now. I see all these young people. They're trying everything. They're drinking all the water and all the slop that the world can give them. And boy, they think they're living it up. And they think they're dining on all this fine cuisine, and they're really eating pig slop.
Amen.
And they're lapping it up. And the sad thing is, we live a day now where parents are helping feeding it to them. Only the things of the world. And then, down the road, you see that same young person, now they're an adult. And maybe they've tried everything. Maybe it's been every relationship under the sun. This woman had them. She had 5. And I'll guarantee you, this little old lady, she had tried a whole lot more than just men. She had tried everything the world had, but she came to that well thirsty. And boy, I love the tenderness and the realness of our Savior. He got right down to the nitty gritty. He knew who He was talking to, and He did it in such a couth way. He said to her, I know you've come here to drink of this water, but what I give you, you won't be thirsty anymore. Now, He wasn't talking about physical water. Y'all understand that, right? He knew that she'd been in all these relationships and she'd tried everything under the world to be happy and she was still empty. She was still thirsty. You know what? I'm saddened by all of these drug addicts today because they're trying everything to fill some hole. I'm sad today that people are trying all of this alcohol and drugs and all of this sex-induced life. Because you know what they're trying to do? An entertainment. We're in such an entertaining world. We're jumping from one thing to another. Why? Because I want to tell you something. It beats in the heart of every person. We're trying to find something that will quench our thirst. Some type of fulfillment. Some type of purpose. She met Him that day. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. I'm so thankful He also said, for whosoever drinketh, verse 14, of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I want you to know Jesus satisfies. All my life long I have panted. Do we have that in this hymn book? I know we sing it here. Brother Nate, is he in here? Do we have that in here? Satisfied? Somebody find it for me real quick, and if you'll give me the number. Satisfied. 645. Powerful. Listen to this. All my life long, I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Feeding on the husks around me. And that's what I was talking about a minute ago. I see so many people feeding on the husks of this world. He said, feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone. Long my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Well of water, ever springing bread of life, so rich and free. Untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. And here's how the chorus goes. Hallelujah, I have found Him who my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Now I'm glad that I am saved. Has He satisfied your longings? I can tell some of you want to go to sleep. I want to tell you something tonight. Listen to me, church. What I'm talking about is real. Some of us are feeding on the husks. You say, Pastor, why are you preaching like this? Because I don't want you to be me. You understand that? I look out here at some of these young people and I see me. You're going to do it your way. You don't need this. You're going to need it. Stop feeding on the husk. Parents, quit feeding it to them. Quit feeding our children the husk that the world has. Get them in the living water. They'll be satisfied. Why? Because it quenches thirst. Can I just say this? It refreshes. Water refreshes. Real quick, look at Proverbs 25:25. Proverbs 25:25. Powerful verse. Proverbs 25:25. I'll read it for you. And as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And I'm going to quickly give you a real quick illustration. Years ago, back before my father had the stroke, me and him and my brother-in-law, Mike, which I think is teaching the children this morning, every year we'd go on a trout fishing trip. Every year. One particular year, I had studied. We wanted to go up to Pocahontas in Pendleton County. I wanted to go up there and fish up in all of those high mountain streams in Pocahontas, West Virginia, Durban, all of that up in there. And here's one of the things. There's a bunch of native brookies up there. Now, if you know where a native brookie stream is, you don't tell nobody else about it. Native brookies are some of the most beautiful fish you've ever seen in your life, but the biggest one you'll probably catch, 6-7 inches, that's a trophy. They don't get very big, but man, they have every color on them, the spectrum, the rainbow. They're absolutely beautiful. And my brother-in-law, Mike, he had a camp up there, his dad did, and his dad told us, he said, boys, go down there. He told us what creek to go to, and here's what he said. He said, go down in that big water. He said, them brookies are down in that big water. Well, we'd been up there fishing a few days, and man, we wore the rainbows and the browns out, but we wanted to go down there and catch them brookies. Well, my dad was the only smart one in the bunch. I thought of that big water, so man, we need waders on, so I took my neoprenes down in there. Now, if y'all have ever had neoprenes, them things are hot, but in the middle of winter or spring in West Virginia, it got cold, that water's freezing, so fishing big water didn't matter, you're glad you had them. But I didn't know what he meant by big water. I hadn't ever really fished for natives that much. And so anyway, to make a long story short, Mike just did it because I did it. He put his waders on. Dad said, boys, that creek ain't going to be that big. He said, I don't need waders. My dad goes down there in a pair of pants and a pair of boots. He was smart. We hiked down over this hill, I mean a mile to get down in that holler. And we got down there and when I looked at the big water, she wasn't much big. When he said big water, it was like, you know, a native stream, a big one's like this. You go over it. But big water, that's big water. So I'm down in that big water, deepest you're going to find, with big neoprene waders. We fished for hours, and then come, we had to come up out of that holler. Well, we started coming up out of that holler. I started seeing things. I done drunk all my water. I was sweating. I thought I was going to be either dead or he was coming. I looked over at Mike, he was doing the same. I mean, and Dad, man, your dad was just right up here. He'd look up there, boys, what's wrong? I said, we're about to die. And I'm telling y'all the truth, man. We got about halfway up that mountain. And I mean, I was, Mike and me, I was trying to pull the neoprenes. I was already sweating. And I mean, I was, and straight up a mountain like this. And that was just, by the time we get up there to just a little bench, and there was like a little mud hole there, where water had seeped in there among all them leaves. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I slapped them things off and I looked like a hog getting there. I started wallowing around in that muddy water. I mean, I was wallowing and Mike was wallowing over there too. Man, we was wallowing in that. I mean, I was feeling that cold water. But the time, what happened? I jumped up and said, let's go. I was about to die. But that cold water, listen to me, refreshed me. You know what happens in the Bible? Here's what happens. Boy, we're living out here in this old nasty world. And man, everything's hitting us. We're about wore out. I'm telling you right now, everybody's about ready to die. Y'all know our economy's bad. If you listen to the news, we're all getting wore out, man. We're hot. We're absolutely, we don't know if we can take another step. But praise God, when you get in the book with this cold water, it refreshes you. Because see, when I listen to the news and then I read the Bible, I believe the Bible and I know that one day here after a while, we're going to be on the winning side anyhow. It refreshes my heart. I can sit there and listen to all that negative stuff and I can sit there and listen to all that bickering and all that fighting. Man, I can get all down and I can get all upset and man, I can get in the Bible and I can read about that day that's clear that the best day of my life will be the day I get to go to heaven. Pretty soon I'm ready to go another step. It refreshes us. How many of y'all like water? It refreshes us. Then I want to say this, it replenishes us. I'm going to close. Look at Isaiah chapter 55 real quick. Isaiah 55. We'll give you a couple verses here. Verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereinto I sent it. Brother Garrett, you mind if I quote you just a moment? He has no idea what I'm getting ready to say, but I hope he trusts me. He was in my office the other night and praise God he got saved. I'll never forget what he said, and man, I've thought about it since that day till now. I said, has the Lord been ringing your bell? He said, oh, listen. He said, I told someone I work with this morning, he said, I should have done come two or three or four times before now. What was happening? Let me tell you about how powerful the Word of God is. It will speak right to your heart personally. And here's what the Bible says, it won't return unto me void. In other words, here's what it means. It will do exactly what God wants it to do in our hearts. It won't return void. It will make that bud. Just like that rain that comes from the sky. And if there's an old drought, what is needed? Water. If you're in a drought in your soul, what do you need? You need water. The water of God's Word. Look, if we're in a drought spiritually, look, you got to drink. Got a drink. Now here's what's beautiful about this water. He's not going to force feed it down you. It said, whosoever cometh and drinketh of this water. Here's the thing. This is what's beautiful about our God. He ain't going to make you do nothing. Because you know why? If He had to make you to do something, He don't love you. He loves you. That's why He uses His Word to do what? Convict you. To speak to you. So you'll do it and I'll do it out of my own will or my own volition. Because I love it. If my wife made me love her, it would be not love. It's not love at all. But oh, it's a different thing when we choose to love. And God waters our hearts with His Word because He loves us. And He wants us to love. What's the benefits of water? I did a little bit of research on this. There was like 8 of them, but I'm not going to give you all 8. I'm going to give you 3 and I'm going to close. What's some benefits of water? I learned that physically it regulates your body temperature. If you're dehydrated, you could have a fever. If you're hot, if you're running hot, if you would drink some cold water. I remember Clay had a real bad fever one day. And what did they do? Put him in hot water? No, they put him in ice cold water. Brought his temperature down. I've learned this. Not only physically, water good to regulate our physical temperature. But you know what I learned? This is good now. I've learned that this word, the Bible, spiritually will keep your spiritual temperature balanced too. I thought I'd get more than that. I thought that was good. Y'all, if y'all just think it's good, just amen or smile or something. Number 2, because if y'all do that, I'll go quicker. I found out some other benefits of water. I learned this. If a man's dehydrated, he can't think very well. He starts getting foggy. He starts getting unclear in his head. By the way, he'll get dizzy. You'll get off balance. You can't really stay mentally focused. By the way, that's why I would encourage every young person, you ought to drink more water than these energy drinks. Somebody say amen. Water's good for you. Hey, water does what? It maintains your mental focus. And I've learned something about this water. It maintains my spiritual focus. Isn't that good? Number 3, and I close. What other is a benefit of water that I read in a medical book? Here's another one. There was like 8 or 9 of them, but I thought I wouldn't keep you all long. Here's the 3rd one. I picked the best ones out. It curbs your appetite. Now, I don't know about y'all, anybody trying to lose weight, here's a good way to lose it. Before you sit down at that meal and eat 6 different helpings of it, take you a big old, make yourself drink a big old glass of water first, or even maybe a quart or one of them. How many of y'all got them? What's them new cups that everybody's talking about? The Stanley cups. Get you a Stanley cup, maybe the off brand of that. Hey, and drink all that down. Then sit down at that meal, and I'm going to tell you what, it will curb your appetite. You know why? Because I've learned this. Water makes you feel full. Y'all know where I'm going. I've learned this. The man and the woman, the boy and girl that drinks a lot of this water, I've learned this. It curbs your sinful appetite. I can't imagine one person in this church this morning going out here outside these doors or going out doing something sinful if they will take this word that you've heard today and run it through your mind. Well, that's good and everything, but I'm going to go out here and I'm going to steal something from the store. It ain't going to happen. Now what do we do? I'm going to tell you what we do. We ignore the water. We don't drink the water. And that's why we don't curb our sinful appetites. How many of y'all know that Jesus died for you? You think He loves you? Well, then you go right out of this building this morning and you keep that on your mind and then you go out and talk bad about somebody. You keep in your mind that Jesus has given you heaven and He's given everything to you. He's given you all of your blessings. And He loads you up with benefits every day. And if we'll sit and think about that and dwell on His Word, what are we going to go out here and shoot somebody? Nobody does that. Now what do they do? I'm going to tell you what they do. They ignore the water. They don't drink the water. This Word will keep our sinful appetite at bay. I heard an old preacher say years ago, either sin will keep you from this book or this book will keep you from sin. I think we better get in the book. How about you? Let's stand to our feet this morning. With head bowed and eyes closed this morning, would you be honest? Say, Pastor, that is exactly what I needed to hear today. Man, the Lord spoke to me in so many ways there. How many of you, to be honest, you'd be brave enough to just say, man, that's me. Would you raise your hand? You'd be brave enough to say, that's great, that's wonderful, that's powerful. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You going to drink it? Let's let God help us. You say, Pastor, I'm here this morning, and I don't know for sure if I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Listen, can I say this lovingly? You don't have to worry about it anymore. You come on down here and we'll have someone take the Bible and they'll give you this water and I promise you this. You know what I heard someone say, Pastor, God couldn't save somebody like me. Well, I can tell you this, He saved somebody like me. I promise you He'll save somebody like you. If you'll just take of the water freely. If you need help with that, you'll come. I promise you we'll have someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I'll just go a step farther. If you need to join the church, you ought to join it. You ought to do what you need to do to join it. It's that important. It's that important to get in a church where water is being distributed so you don't get dehydrated spiritually. It's that important. Whatever it is, would you let God have His way? They're going to play something. You maybe raise your hand and said, man, He spoke to me about something. Well, you can come up and pray. You can pray right there. I know, I should have quit, 10 minutes ago? The Lord just put some things on my heart. Would you please be back tonight? If you look this way, we'll close in prayer. I want to just speak to you a moment. I know I've said this before. I've been in this thing 26 years and I've seen things. And they're sad. They don't have to be, but some are sad because of what I'm going to speak on tonight. And I can't give personal illustrations. But trust me, I could give so many real human illustrations that I've seen just not do what God wants them to do. They're little things. They're little things. Things that maybe most people wouldn't think anything, but it's costed them big things later. You understand me? Paul even said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, you're going to think I'm crazy. But I got to share some things from my heart. And I do it because I love you. So be back tonight if you can. If not, watch it online. But be back. I think God will show us and help us with some things tonight. Amen. Brother Don, would you pray for us tonight? I'd like to go to the back. I didn't get to greet anybody this morning. And so maybe if you would swing by as Laura and I are going to back.